God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 31. To sort of begin, one of the more captivating books and movies more recently our society has seen, which this is a very appropriate time to talk about, The Da Vinci Code, in which Dan Brown in the book advocates that Mary Magdalene was sort of the wife of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They had a child, and then there was sort of this lineage of Christ here on earth. Well, Scripture has a little bit of a different viewpoint here. And the reason why I bring this up is not necessarily to bash on Dan Brown's book, which has sold millions and millions of copies, but it fits very well with our text. You see, our lesson from Ephesians tells us who truly is the bride of Christ. Yes, Christ is married in a sense, not necessarily to an individual, but to many individuals. Not that Christ is promoting polygamy here at the moment. No, the individuals in question are those who believe and trust in him. Those who look to the cross, seeing Jesus' death and resurrection, and believe that in that event, Christ accomplishes the forgiveness of their sins. Those who believe and trust in this event are the bride of Christ, the church. What we're talking about is the community of believers. We're not talking about the external building, but we're talking about those who have faith and trust in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. This is a very important and a beautiful illustration for us to remember. You see, the church is the true body of Christ. And in that special relationship of like husband and wife, God cherishes the bride. Notice in our Ephesians passage, if you just pick out the parts that describe Christ and his relationship to the church, you get this as a reading. Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is Savior. Is the Savior. Christ loved the church and gave himself up to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. He does all this, he does out of as he cares and feeds the church, just as Christ does for each and every one of us. So here we get a beautiful picture on how Christ not only establishes that church through the baptismal waters, but also maintains that relationship. This is very important for us, especially in our society today, because Dan Brown's book is, what is it doing? It's causing people, if you truly believe it, not in the form of fiction, but in reality, it's causing people to get disconnected to Christ. Needless to say, we don't have to blame Dan Brown, because our natural human sinful nature also wants to disconnect from Christ. Let me put it to you this way. Christ, yes, died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He gives us this faith. He maintains our faith. He continues to sustain this faith. But our human sinful nature sometimes has a hard time with this. It is constantly rebelling, even during good times and during the bad times. You see, during the good times, we may be thinking, during the good times, wouldn't we naturally just come to our Lord and Savior and say thank you? Well, let me give you my personal opinion here for a moment. Having grown up in Chicago, I will admit, I've been frustrated many seasons watching sports teams struggling here and there, trying to make it to the top, then to fall short. Especially since I grew up on the north side of Chicago, the famous phrase was, wait until next year. And what happened when a Chicago sports team would make it to the top? Whether it be the Bears, the Bulls, or even the White Sox. Can they do it again the next year? There always seems to be a certain fallacy that sometimes comes about, that you're able to do it once, but then you're not able to do it again. My personal opinion is the reason why they're not able to repeat as often as they probably should be is because of our media. What happens is they grab too much attention, and what happens when too much attention is given to an individual, we like to say their head gets a little puffed up. a little overinflated ego. And it's during those times when our heads get a little puffed up, even for Christians, we lose sight of where all our gifts, our abilities come from. They come from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do we not pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Do we not realize that every breath we take is a gift from God? But when things are going well in our lives, do we always give thanks to God? Is God always the first thing when we wake up in the morning saying, "Thank you, God, for this beautiful day"? Even though it may be raining outside. But it's still, each day is a gift from God. I venture to say, when things go too well for us in our lives, we very often start forgetting about it is God who has handed us all these wonderful blessings. Just like sports teams or individuals on sports teams may have an overinflated ego, which then destroys the whole team atmosphere, and then henceforth it's very difficult to repeat. Now, I will admit the Chicago Bulls have proved me wrong, but that was a wonderful exception. I hope it happens again. Let's also take a look at the opposite. The opposite is what happens when we're down in the dumps and we feel like no one cares for us. We feel alone. We feel forgotten. We feel abandoned. Could this actually be the God who created you? The God who redeemed you by sending His own Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. The God, as the Ephesians passage says, is constantly out there to make you holy and blameless. Could it possibly be that God has forgotten us? The answer is no. God has not forgotten us. But it's our human sinful nature that is trying to disassociate us from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Going back to the words of our text, it says, Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy. It is Christ who has made us holy. And that wasn't a one-time event. God continues to make us holy. Not necessarily through the waters of holy baptism. No, we only need to be baptized just once. But each and every day, God is sending His Holy Spirit to encourage us in the faith, to draw us closer to Him. Now, you may be saying, but Pastor, what's the real advantage of being attached to Christ? The advantage is, yes, we have a God. We have a Savior. We have the forgiveness of sin. We are destined to eternal life. But I know that doesn't always satisfy the human sinful nature. So let me just play around with the words of God here for a moment in a humorous way. You know, today's consumers spend millions and billions of dollars to make them make themselves look better. And it's not just women. Us men do the same thing. But now, what are the words of our text? Why do we need Christ? Well, guess what Christ does? He presents her, referring to the church, to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. You know, if I was able to bottle this and market it, I'd be the wealthiest person in the whole world. No blemish, no stain, no wrinkle. Can this possibly be? It almost sounds like too good to be true. Yes, there are many products that would claim to do this, but oh no, only God Himself is able to do this. And He does it only for the true bride of Christ. Those who believe and put their faith and trust in what He has done and what He continues to do. You see, too often as a Christian, we step away from Christ because we see the cross here as a one-time event. Something that occurred 2,000 years ago. Yes, it did occur 2,000 years ago. But it is also the effects of this are occurring each and every day. Christ didn't just die on the cross, rise from the dead 3 days later, and then leave us alone, but He is constantly, actively involved with us to sustain us, to make us holy without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish. And notice what Scripture also says. He feeds and cares for it. God certainly does feed us. As we gather around to hear His Word, He feeds us with His life-giving Word. As Peter says at the end of our Gospel reading, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus Himself he said, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." Not just something in the distant past, but something that we need each and every day. Every day is a gift of God. So we have God constantly drawing us back to Him to feed, to encourage, to nurture us, to sustain us in this faith. Why? Because He knows of sin, death, and the devil. He is the one who has defeated sin, death, and the devil upon His death on the cross. He knows what it's like to be alone. He's the one who said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He suffered all those pains so that you would not have to suffer. He was abandoned by God so that you would not be abandoned by God. He was stricken by God so that you wouldn't have to be stricken. He died on the cross and suffered the pain and agony so that you can be the true bride of Christ, along with all believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, there are some times where the events of our world around us cause us to get down in the valleys, get down in the dumps, so to speak, cause us to dismay, or cause us to venture away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. However, the groom doesn't want his bride to walk away, but is constantly nurturing, encouraging, and sustaining us in the faith. There's an interesting, that's hymn that we just sang, and I don't know if you noticed, they changed the words again. But some of you may be saying, no, Pastor, they went back to the original wording that we once remembered. It talks about in stanza 2, that was hymn number 645, "Surely in the temple made with hands, God the Most Mighty is not dwelling. High above earth, His temple stands, all earthly temples excelling." So basically referring that heaven above is a lot greater than this physical church here on earth. "Yet He who dwells in heaven above chooses to live with us in love, making our bodies His temple." The beautiful words of that hymn stanza reminds us, what does God really want most of all? Not necessarily grand cathedrals, but He wants that to dwell with you. He wants you to be His bride, to be part of that church. And all who believe and trust in our risen Lord and Savior are of that church. So this day we give thanks and praise to God that He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us. Yes, He does bless us with many gifts, but we shouldn't trust in those gifts too much. We need to look at the author of those gifts. The author who created us, who gave us this faith, who's redeemed us and continues to sustain this faith, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank and praise Him for all He has done. And so even in the midst of our most rebellious times, even in the midst of when we feel most afraid and forgotten, we have to remind ourselves that, yes, we are the true bride of Christ. We are not forgotten or abandoned, but truly loved by Him each and every day of our lives. In His name. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.